This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. On this manic Monday in Baltimore, Ed Norris, of course, in Sarasota. What's going on, gentlemen?
Not much. What's happening up there?
Nothing. Nothing much. There was nothing happening this weekend. What do you guys want to talk about? Nothing. Nothing major. I mean, Rob and I basically just did a show for the past 20 minutes on Chidori Sanders.
Yeah, so. Not going to be very popular, though.
I ain't never seen anything like this. And I know we're going to talk about all this stuff, and it's going to come up a little bit later. But, like, I've never seen so many people jump to something that is not even factual with what's going on in society right now. That this kid slipped because of talent, because of the interview process, and nothing else. Nothing else.
I don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
So depending on what you believe about this, and Matt Barry wrote this before the draft. He said he talked to two GMs before the draft that said they interviewed Shador Sanders, came away thinking way less of him, and they interviewed Cam Ward, coming away thinking way more of him, just from the interview process. There was a story about him FaceTiming someone while he's on an interview with a GM of another team. He went to the podium and said, unless you want your culture changing, you don't draft me. Why is any team going to take a chance on that guy early? Why? And again, if you watch them play in college, the talent's not up to snuff the way that everybody's telling you. Watch the film.
Why would you want him in your locker room?
Jeremy came in hot today.
Well, I don't blame him. I'm kind of hot about this whole thing, too, because it's pissing me off because it's exactly what he said. He's not that good in the first place. And beyond that, he's an ass. He really is. Why would you want him? Why would you want him with your other players? Why would you want him in your locker room? Why would you want to have to deal with him every day as a coach?
The one thing I'll say, and I thought that he did really well, was handle this as it was going on. Not showing anything, not being demonstrative or anything, just kind of going with the flow. Now he's got a chance to walk into Cleveland where his dad said he would never play years ago. Remember, they were talking about he's going to pick what team he wants to go to. Yep. That's something you're really saying before coming in. And people keep bringing up the Eli Manning thing. He got dragged for that when that went on. People were like, who does he think he is? And then it died down because he doesn't have any other issues.
But he still got drafted by San Diego.
Yes. And then traded.
John Elway still got drafted by Baltimore. They still got drafted by the teams. The two teams worked out a trade. He controlled his destination based on two teams trading him. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm drafted. Although John Elway lied. John Elway was never going to play for the Yankees.
No.
His dad knew George Steinbrenner, and George Steinbrenner put that narrative out there. He wasn't good enough to play for the Yankees.
Yeah.
He was a decent baseball player.
Well, and again, like, we're going to go back through this, and people are going to, and I think there's a lot of really intelligent people that are running with this, and I'm going, what? To me, it waters down every other time that we need to talk about certain things where there are things that aren't just in society or in sports or whatever, that this guy's getting railroaded and this has happened. But, like, this isn't it. This isn't the hill to die on for anyone.
And we're going to talk about this at length at 6:30. Because we want you to get your opinions in on this as well. I love to hear this.
I'm going to be fighting with people today over the Orioles and over this. I'm coming in hot. Sorry.
I wish it was hot on Saturday.
Shoot, man.
Detroit was cold.
Oh, it was cold there.
I wish it was hot. I was in Detroit.
I thought,
man,
you were talking about the bats.
No, man. It was so freaking cold, man. I mean.
Well, you can walk to Canada from there.
Nice.
Literally, you can walk. You could walk to Windsor.
18 innings in that cold Camberwell. I didn't have a hat.
Did you see the lady that fell down walking back to her seat behind home plate?
No.
You didn't see that in the Tigers and Orioles?
No.
She's walking in. Somebody said, grab that woman an ice pack. I'll shoot you guys the message. She's got two beers in her hand, and she just, bang, hits her head on a seat and falls. I'll send you the video. It's hilarious. Poor woman.
It's hilarious, poor woman.
NBA yeah, playoffs. Nice. Hey, your team got a gift yesterday, man.
Yeah, they Ooh. Did.
That was a gift. Yeah. And I hate when officials come after the game and say, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, play it over then. Get your ass back out on the court and start from there.
It's literally in the books. You can't do that.
They literally determined the end of the game, Ed. They literally determined the end of the game. That should have been three shots from the free throw line. I hate that, man. I hate it.
You know what sucks about the whole, besides the fact they got it wrong, is that it's just as important if it happened in the first quarter as the last seconds. It doesn't matter with a game. They all count when you screw up because it's the point total that wins a game. It drives me crazy that they're like, well, if they call a bad penalty in the NFL during the last 2 minutes of a game, well, it determined the game. It determines the game after the opening kickoff. It's the same problem. They got to fix this stuff.
I mean, it's playoff, and that's that old NBA line of thinking. The officials don't want to determine the end of the game. You did by not making a call. You determined the end of the game.
Yeah.
You put the game in your own hands by saying, I'm not going to blow the whistle here. Then you didn't even tell me later on that we made a mistake? No, really? You made a mistake. Okay, no bad. No, my bad. And now the Pistons down 3-1, but they can feel better about it because the officials admitted they made a mistake. So they should feel better about it.
Well, I mean, this is what happens, too. And then you hang on to the end of the game in a singular play because it means so much in that moment where all eyes are there. I mean, they were saying the same thing about the end of the, not to this degree, the end of the Lakers-Wolves game where some questionable calls down the stretch there as well. But you look at the Knicks, I thought the Pistons had a good showing. The one thing to come out of this series was whoever that tatted up woman was sitting courtside, because that's who everybody was talking about. You didn't see that one?
Yeah,
I have to send that picture out too, I guess. So this is, the playoffs have been, we've had some good games, but again, I think you're waiting until the next round. The next round is when things really heat up.
And on top of that, I lost $20.
On what?
Derek White. He only shot six threes, 2 for 6.
That's it?
That's it.
What'd you have?
He was supposed to be the leader.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And well, he missed it. He was almost the leader because everybody had two except Jason Tatum. He was 3 for 10. Everybody else had two. Porzingis had two made. On the other team, Bachero had two made. Franz had two made. Corey Joseph had two made, and KCP had two made. So everybody had two. He's tied with that. All he needed was two more threes. How did he shoot six threes? That's it? Since when does he shoot six threes? He shoots that in a quarter sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, this is the playoffs starting. We don't see guys shooting as many threes as they had been. We've seen a lot of lower scoring games.
Tell Jason Tatum that.
Well, I mean, you still got to hit him. Jason, I think when you look at the situation they're in with all the injuries, you're asking somebody to step up. Drew Holiday missed the last game.
Missed this game too.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't play this game.
Yeah. So I think, with the matchups we have, let's weed out some of the bad teams here and then move on to the next round so we can get some of these better matchups. But, you know, LeBron and the Lakers now down 3-1, headed back home.
I'm not shocked.
I'm not either. Like I told you, I thought everybody was misinterpreting what this team was going up against a team that made a run last year.
They're not ready.
They still have to learn how to play together, man. And they need to get a big.
Yeah, they're not ready. That's what I mean. They're not ready. I mean, I'm not thinking they're not good. I'm just thinking they're not ready. They're a team that can do some things with some off-season moves. And like you said, some seasoning with one another. Thoughts on the draft, the winners and the losers at 6:30. Also, a prank call that took place over the weekend. Now, the NFL team is involved in that. But on the other side, the Baltimore Ravens, 11 picks between Thursday and Saturday. How much better is this team? Because I think we all agree they got better. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Well, it was a long day, a couple of days, but today was a long day. Happy the way that it transpired. I think we added some really interesting, good developmental players, some guys that can come in and help us right away
and some guys that, like, looking out, you know, I think we'll be looking back and saying, hey, these guys really helped our team.
Man, they did help the team. 11 picks between days 2 and 3, and we thought maybe the Ravens would use some of those picks to leverage some things. They just ran full speed ahead, Ed.
Yeah, they did, man. A little surprised but pleasantly surprised in some ways. I just thought it was a good draft for them.
Jeremy?
Filled some needs.
I think look, we say the same damn thing every time. I told you, this is the most boring team to talk about the draft because they do such a great job. You never really know. This is the first year where a lot of us were like, hey, Malachi Starks makes sense, and he falls right there. And then you start seeing some of the other stuff, and you're going, well, he's not coming here because of the two sexual assault. Oh, he slid in the draft, and they did take him. It's interesting because that guy could have easily been a first-round pick, and I know you loved him, the kid out of Marshall.
I did.
But then everything I'm reading, there's always some draft pundit expert that's like, oh, man, that's my favorite player that no one was talking about. And guess who drafted him?
Ravens.
The Ravens.
Yeah.
Whether it was the linebacker from Cal, you know, even the running back they picked up as an undrafted free agent that had, 30-some touchdowns on 100-and-some carries. Like, so you get yourself a battering ram. Even if it doesn't work out, they drafted a kicker, so they're at least showing you the direction that they're planning on going in, at least in my opinion. I love what they did. I thought you filled a lot of holes. They didn't get themselves a big D tackle. We normally see them draft a couple of those guys, but a project offensive lineman, another one that can come in and play right away.
Are you talking about Emory Jones as the project?
No.
Oh, because I like Emory Jones.
Emory Jones is going to be he said it'll be an honor to block for Lamar. By the way, the kid Booker that the Cowboys got, that guy's something else, and now I know why he was one of the top guys on the Ravens board. The more and more you hear him interviewed, it's like, oh, I like him.
You said it. I think the guy was from Vitek, Peebles.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll kind of put a circle around him, see what he'll come out. That's how he'll end up.
I mean, again, some of these guys might just be projects. It was kind of interesting to see how everything fell with the players that people know, the running backs that we had talked about, the wide receiver run that went on. This was a heavy, heavy offensive lineman draft. And you kind of saw that in the first couple of rounds.
Dellinger at the last pick in the 7th round. Mm-hmm. It's funny because watching LSU football, you hear his name a lot, and you wonder, man, this guy's a 7th-round draft pick. And I know college offensive line is completely different from the NFL, but then I read up on him, and he was who I thought he was. He had 30 career starts at LSU. That's a lot of starts.
That's a lot of starts.
Yeah, LSU, including 24 at left guard. So, I don't know. It's he only got flagged twice. And just under 2,000 snaps, 1,937 snaps.
Really?
He only got flagged twice. Yes. When you start reading this guy's resume, you're like, why is he a 7th-round pick?
Huh. That's pretty impressive stuff, actually. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And again, when you watch LSU games, Jeremy, you hear his name a lot. He makes some key blocks for the running backs and quarterbacks rolling out. And I knew his name instantly when they drafted him. I'm like, man, he fell to the 7th. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me there's some injury history or something, because I didn't think he'd be a first-round pick by no stretch of the imagination, but maybe 4th or 5th. I didn't think 7th.
I think sometimes with the interior line, like, we talked to, was it McKusick last week? I know doing the draft day show with Vinny, kind of talking about some of these players, like he did the draft breakdown of Booker, so that's where you really got to learn quite a bit about him.
Right.
But with some of these other offensive linemen, like, if you're an interior lineman and your position is only guard, you better be amazing at it to get drafted high. I mean, in the first round, like, you have to be special. And we've seen some of those guys that have come through. But at the same extent, I think a lot of these guys slip because you feel like it's almost like slot receivers, the way that they were judged in years past is like, oh, you can get that guy in any round. Go ahead and take him in the 3rd. Even if he can't play outside, then we don't need to take him high. And then now the league's changed where every position is important on offense.
Yeah, you're right. What do you think about the Carson Vinson guy? I think he's the only HBCU kid in the draft.
Is he really?
If I'm not mistaken, I read that somewhere. He's the guy from Alabama A&M, the offensive tackle.
That's the project. It's a developmental offensive tackle. Again, his size is ridiculous. And what was it here? His wingspan was measured at 84 3/8 inches. It's the 4th largest among all offensive linemen at the combine. His wingspan's on par with LeBron James. So again, you've got a project here. We'll see. I think the Ravens always do this. They're going to come away from their draft, and they're going to have four or five players from that draft that stay here for a while, play their first 4 or 5 years here, maybe get an extension. And then they got to make the decision of who they want to keep. There's going to be somebody or maybe one or two guys that are undrafted that they get their hands on and bring in. But I love the fact that it feels like they've got some project guys to work on, and then guys that can come in and play right away. So it's a nice little mixture, but they do this every year.
Panther Creek High School in Cary, North Carolina. I know that high school. Yeah, all right.
And the other one, Bilal Kone, the kid from Western Michigan. Forget who it was. I don't know if it was Todd McShay or one of the other draft pundits were like, I love this kid, and it's a perfect fit for Baltimore. I don't know how many times they can say Kone, the cornerback out of Western Michigan. Do you think he's related to me? Do you think it was Khan?
Cone? No, I thought it was Cone. Kone.
Yeah, but
what is it? Bilal Kone?
Yes.
All right. I hope they have to get used to his name. They got a kicker like we all thought they would. Tyler Loop from Arizona.
He looks like a kicker.
Yeah.
He's skinny and white.
Yep.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. The Ravens told us there was a zero tolerance policy, right? You draft a kid in the second round, albeit the second round, he should have been the first round, and Mike Green, who has a checkered pass. Meanwhile, you got a kicker who's under investigation as well. What happened to that zero tolerance?
This guy's talented, right, Ed?
No, well, there's that. But, I mean, they said they did their due diligence. I mean, just because you're accused doesn't mean it actually happened. I mean, he was never charged, and they went back. I mean, they have a whole investigative staff.
But it was two separate schools that he was.
So high school, one was high school, one was college.
Yeah.
If they did their due diligence, he was graded a first rounder by 32 teams, and he fell almost out of the second round. So if they did their due diligence and there's nothing there, then why did he fall to the end of the second round?
I don't know. I'm just going to board this up. Yeah,
and
I mean, that to me, if I did my due diligence on a guy and everything is clean and he's supposed to be a first round pick, he's not falling to the back of the second round.
Yeah.
There's something there.
Well, and again, I want to know too, like, talk about doing your due diligence. It's one thing when a guy's extremely talented and another thing when a guy's going to get passed up because he didn't have the best year of his life, and now he's getting accused of sexual assault and Justin Tucker. These are accusations, though. It's the same thing when you're bringing them in, and the fact that it happened at two separate schools, I don't know if this is two separate incidents. You get what I'm saying? One happened in June. The other one happened 2 years later.
It happened in high school.
What I'm saying is, did somebody come forward and somebody else then?
This is what happened. If something happened in high school, Virginia took a fly on him. But he wasn't really productive.
Mm-hmm.
He was accused at Virginia of something. And because he wasn't productive anyway, they said, we had a zero tolerance on this. We said, one strike, you're out. They booted him out. He ended up at Marshall.
The best thing is that on draft day, what was it, day two, when they were talking about him, everybody had him go into the Bengals because he's got a red flag. Everyone's like, man, the Bengals really wanted this guy. And I'm not
saying the kid did it or not. I'm just saying for a kid that was on everybody's first round board, who fell almost, if the Ravens don't get him, does he go third round? I mean, pick number 59, you're almost out of the second round.
Yeah.
I'm just, what made him, if you did your due diligence and he's clean, then why did he fall almost two rounds? Let's go to Trey and Joppa. What's up, Trey?
Well, morning, fellas. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Definitely like the draft pick, starting with Starks. I mean, I wanted to pass rusher, but I'm happy with Starks. Jeremy said, after hearing him talk and everything.
You got to pass rusher. You got to pass rusher.
We got
in the second round, yeah.
Absolutely. That's my favorite pick of the draft, to be honest. I think he's going to bring something to the defense. I think he's going to bring some charisma to the defense that we ain't really had since Suggs, to be honest with you. Some personality.
I got
to
be honest with you, Trey. I love the Starks pick because that was my pick because I thought Mike Green was off the board. But I'm with you. Mike Green is my favorite pick.
Yeah. I think he's going to bring an edge to us, man. I think he's going to be hungry and motivated, too. I mean, guess what? Sometimes everybody needs a second chance. And I think he's going to – I'm believing in him. I'm taking a shot on him. You know what I mean? Just like the Ravens did. I'm thankful they did. They thought outside the box a little bit with it, and they took a chance. I called in last week on a different show, and I was like, Harbaugh, you're a leader of men. You know, let that – that's another way for part of earning another feather in his cap of, you know, developing character a little bit along the way. Like, everybody don't like to come in being a, you know, a so-called choir boy. Like, you know, let's see if you can develop somebody. So I love the pick. Like you said too, Rob, the people's pick. I think that's a sneaky pick. Looked at some tape on him. Quick defensive tackle, a little undersized, but, you know, probably, you know, later down the road he might be able to help us.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, Ed. Yeah. Can I piggyback off that call?
Yeah.
And I don't care about everybody needing no second chance. I got to be honest with you, bro. I'm not worried about any of that. Play ball. It's not my job to police him. It's not. You know, we hit that, and if the Steelers had drafted him, we'd criticize him. If the Bengals had drafted him, Jeremy said, well, that's what they do. They get red flag guys. So I'm not going to change my narrative because the Ravens drafted him. I'm going to admit, I just want him to get sacks. All that other stuff, that's up for the Ravens to police him, not my job.
Yes, but I'll tell you what, I will change my narrative because the Ravens drafted him, only because of this. I just think they're a better organization than most. I think they're one of the top five organizations in the NFL. I know most of the security staff. It's a lot of them work for me in either the state or city. The head of the security team now is a former Secret Service agent, former NYPD. I met all these guys pretty squared away, and I have a lot of faith in DaCosta. So I don't know the people from who, you know, work for Cincinnati or the Browns, but just knowing the Ravens, I'm like, yeah, they know what time it is. They know what they got going on, with, you know, with Tucker and all these other things.
That's what I was gonna say. I mean, having said all of that, we thought Tucker was squeaky clean, and where we are right now, I'm not that all of that narrative of everybody needs a second chance and all that. I don't know if everybody does, but I do know he's a heck of a football player, and I hope he shows up here in Baltimore. 410-583-1057. Jeremy Kahn's World is Stupid at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, who were the winners and losers? Are you surprised Shedeur Sanders fell to the fifth round? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Da, da, da.
6:34 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob beep, Long, beep, Jeremy Kahn. Joe beep. Came in hot with this one. Joe been all right the last couple of weeks with the music, man.
I mean,
I don't know what he's up to, man.
You never know what he's up to. He's Betty sneaky.
Let me back up. I don't want to know what he's up to. I don't want no parts of that.
Ed, what are you up to?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
Ed, were you surprised Shedeur Sanders went in the fifth round?
No, honestly.
You weren't surprised?
No.
I was surprised he didn't go in the first two. No, I wasn't surprised he didn't go in the first round. I may be slightly surprised he didn't go in a second. After that, I was shocked.
I thought he's going to be a middle round pick, frankly. He was so incredibly overhyped. And then reading about the interviews that he did and what a jerk he was, you know, like nobody's going to want to touch this guy. So I figured maybe, you know, somebody pick him up in a third round who makes bad decisions on the routine. No, not really. I hated the whole thing. It was just theater. With his father and, you know, all the nonsense that surrounded him. He's going to pick his team and he's so brash. He's going to change this. He wasn't that good. And he played for a mediocre team in a weak division.
Yeah, I heard all the stuff about the league doesn't want a confident black man. That's why they're putting Shedeur Sanders down. I mean, all that stuff's nonsense, guys. Like, the number one overall pick was a black quarterback. And you know why he went there? Because talented. And because when he went into the meetings, he wasn't an a-hole. And again, right. Like there's certain things. I don't know how many of these stories are true, but there's way too many of them for some of these not to be true about what Shedeur was doing.
I think Shedeur Sanders is very talented. I think he is a second round talent. However, I think this is one of those cases of mess around and find out.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those cases of Shedeur Sanders. And I said this to a friend of mine. He was born on third base and he thought he hit that triple.
Yeah.
When he didn't hit that triple, your daddy hit that for you, and you were born on third base. And I think instead of the hard work that he did, because he can't be, whether you think it's mediocre or division or not, you can't succeed to his level, 74% completion, 4,100 passing yards, 37 touchdowns. You can't succeed to that level unless you put in hard work. And somewhere along the line, he forgot about that. And somewhere along the line, he thought he could control his future. I think in some of those interviews, he deliberately tanked it, to want to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because he thought he was strong enough and talented enough for some team to overlook that. When these guys talk, They talk.
Let me throw some. Depending on how many teams actually need a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many teams in the league need a quarterback? Let's say it was 8 or 10 need one that are looking for a starter. But we've had a couple that maybe it's up in the air. Cleveland's a perfect example of a team that needed them, and they passed on them how many times before they finally drafted him? And there was a quarterback taken in front of him, yeah. So they drafted Dillon Gabriel. To which now, like, there's no better opportunity.
Who's not more talented than Shadir Sanders?
No.
He's not.
No. I mean, look, I think the kid's got a strong arm. I never thought of him, Dillon, that is, as an NFL quarterback.
Right.
But at the same extent, did you know that's Roman Gabriel's son?
Sorry. You stop.
I had to do it. I had to do it. It's not, guys.
Son. It'd be his great-grandson.
Exactly.
You guys don't know.
Didn't Roman Gabriel die before Dillon Gabriel was born?
Well, so.
I don't even know if Roman Gabriel's dead.
But no, but like the point is, so he's going to this place in Cleveland where you're going to have, you've got an old vet quarterback in Joe Flacco that we don't know what he's going to look like if he's going to stay upright the whole season. You've got Deshaun Watson, who they're dying to just march out of town whenever they can financially. And then you got Dillon Gabriel there. Like, you don't have much to compete with. So if you show any signs of being talented, you should be playing.
Someone asked me, now that he's fallen, you think if the Ravens hadn't already signed Cooper Rush, they would have drafted him? No.
They don't want that around here.
No.
Well, that gets to my point about need a quarterback.
He couldn't have gone to a team that doesn't need a quarterback.
Well, that's what I never finished the point.
He can't be a career backup. Mm-hmm. He couldn't take it. His ego, I don't think his ego could take it, to be honest with you.
Well, they've already talked about Deion going to his first meeting with Cleveland.
Have they really?
How many guys' dads go with them in their first meeting? Whatever, man. You know what? I ain't dying on this hill. You guys can sit here and say what you want about it. We'll find out if this kid is talented enough to play at this level. But
it's exactly what I said last week about the father. I said, we all coach youth sports at one point. What'd you hate doing the most? Dealing with crazy parents. They're ruining it for the kids. I know they're older. He's at a different level, obviously. He's in the NFL now. I would not want to have to deal with his attitude and Deion's on a regular basis. It just, no. Uh-uh.
Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057 is the number. What a weekend for Shadir Sanders, I'm sorry. Not only fall into the fifth round, but also a prank call as well that took place to say, well, now you got to have to wait even longer. He had a hell of a week. Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057 is the number. Your thoughts on this situation up next on The Fan. Shadir Sanders falls in the fifth round. Guys, I think this is also a lesson. I hope we don't miss out on this one. And I think this is also a lesson in NIL. Shadir Sanders made $6.5 million in college. So now when I go to interviews, how hungry am I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm already a millionaire six times over.
Yeah.
And I think it's also a lesson in that as well, because you used to go to these interviews with players who were looking for that first $1 million paycheck. Now you got players, not all of them, but some of them, your top draft picks are probably guys who already made $1 million.
You remember Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking juice in the hood? Do you remember that? When Keenan Ivory Wayans would come up. Message! That's what this is.
Don't be a menace to society?
No. No, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. The comedy. So Keenan Ivory Wayans was the mailman, and every time there was something being said that was like thought-provoking, he would come up behind him and go, message! And that's what this is. It's a message to everyone out there. Like, he's getting a $280,000 signing bonus, and he could have made $6 million more if he went back to college. And I'm not saying he made the wrong decision by any stretch. He made the wrong decision by going into those rooms and being a jackass.
How many different titles did that movie combine? Don't Be a Menace.
To South Central.
South Central.
Drinking Juice in the Hood.
Drink Juice in the Hood. The Boys in the Hood. Yeah. So combined four movies.
Do we have a problem?
Let's go to Julian in Baltimore. What's up, Julian?
What's going on, fellas? How you feeling this morning?
Don't wow you, man.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, no one can say that this was race motivated with Shadir Sanders, because Caleb Williams last year was a cocky quarterback who got drafted first overall. I think people looked at that and then saw, well, he didn't live up to his own hype. So we're not going to deal with Shadir Sanders and his cockiness, and it has to deal with Deion just for him not to live up to the height that they had. He told people, you got to be ready to change the culture. And they looked at him and just said, no, we don't want to. So you can sit there and wait.
I think it's very fair. We've had quarterbacks at the top end of the draft go into someone's office and say, if you don't draft me, I'm going to shove it up your rear end every time I come to town. Hell, even the kid from Was it Ohio State said everybody that doesn't draft me, I'm going to show everyone. Yeah. I'm gonna.
But it's the difference between being cocky and being an a-hole
and being confident. Like yeah. There's the fine line.
I think cockiness and confidence are kind of akin to one another. But I think when you can be an a-hole. I mean, I'm good. Why are you good? Why do you think you're good? Because I work hard and I'm good. Bottom line. If a kid tells you that, okay, this kid's cocky. He might even light up the room. But if a kid tells me, no, if I come here, man, you got to change this. You got to, no, that's not cockiness. That's not cockiness. That's a difference. I mean, athletes are cocky, period. Yeah, you got to, you deal with that. But you don't, if I'm the enemy, then you can't come play here.
Yeah.
Greg in Bel Air. What's up, Greg?
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
I totally agree with all you guys, and I agree with the other callers as well. I mean, I remember when Deion got drafted. He was sitting there, and before he got drafted, he was like telling teams. He told Detroit, "He's like, don't draft me. They'll ask for so much money, you have to put me on layaway." And he was so cocky and arrogant at that time. But he had elite talent and could get away with it. And also, he's a cornerback, not a quarterback. So he's not the face of the franchise. So I mean, I'm same with Shador. I think his dad's not helping him at all right now. I mean, he helped him a lot as a coach in college. But if he tries to go to, like, meetings with him and stuff like this, it's time to let go. It's like, you know, my kid, like, you know, if you are helping them get through college and grad school and stuff, and they go for the first job, and you show up with them in the first job, that's a real bad look for Shador Sanders if his father's there.
Can you imagine? Imagine what the other players would think. I'm serious. This isn't just the coaches. Like, you come in, you know, pick where he was, with all the hype around him, and your father shows up, that'd be fun. I mean, I could just imagine.
I mean, is it different because it's Deion though? Do you get a pass because of who he is and what he's done, or no?
He went to the fifth round. Did he get a pass?
No, I'm talking about if Deion comes in.
I don't think Deion's everybody's cup of tea. As talented as he is.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, he's an incredible football player. He's the most talented, best cover cornerback I've probably ever seen. It's not everybody's a fan.
I love Deion. I loved him. I loved him from Florida State on. Let's go to Donnie and Dundalk. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you guys are doing good today.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment about Shador Sanders. I agree with all the other commentators, Collins. As a Ravens fan, I'm just tickled pink that he went to the Browns because I can't wait to see him and play him, against him. I think that if Joe Flacco, gets injured, which is very possible, I think you could see Shador Sanders. But I also think that with Shador's ego and with Deion's, ego as well, I think that there's a really good chance that he gets into some type of physical altercation either in training camp or in the first, 6 or 7 weeks of the season. I think it'll be interesting to watch. Have a good one, guys.
You too.
Take it easy, man.
Well, I mean, I definitely want to hear from some people that feel the other way.
Nah.
I do. I mean,
I don't. Physical altercation?
What?
Shador Sanders? I mean, look,
even when he, people are taking the time when he went up to the player from the other team, the quarterback, there was a guy that ran his mouth about him on social media, and then he went up to show him up after the game. But there was also an incident before the game where he went up to someone who was talking trash. Now, you could look at one of those incidents and go, yeah, maybe he was a little out of pocket with this one. But if that guy said something about him and he retaliated, I don't have an issue with that.
No, I don't.
But again, it's up to – everybody's going to be offended or hate certain things about these players.
I'm not going to sit here and act like everything he does is wrong.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not going to – that's the definition of a hater. I see why the guy fell in the draft. I do, 100%. 100% because who amongst us can go into an interview – with that type of behavior and still get the job?
Yeah.
I know I can't.
Don't hire me unless you want your whole culture changing.
West Baltimore, Shiloh. What's up, Shiloh?
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Rob, can I ask you a question?
Yes,
Did you see the interview when Deion Sanders got drafted?
When Deion got drafted?
On draft day. I want you guys, when you get a chance, go back and look at the interview when he got drafted, right? Because this is the way I'm looking at it, right? How many off the field issues that his son had, or he even did. How many off the field issues that they have? I think we're looking at not you guys, but a lot of people looking at the wrong thing. Okay, football and sports has a swagger to it. Whether it's football, basketball, whatever, right? There's a swagger to it. But when you look at the performance on the field, like Rob said, I give you props, Rob. When you pull the man numbers out, what he do on the field, man? I don't see nobody mentioning what he do on the field. My thing is, if he is who you are, and we look at how many teams Deion has played for and what he brought to the game, not only football, baseball, racing. I mean, he did basketball. He did everything. And a lot of times we push to the side what a person can do. And it's like basically like we're overlooking the performance on the field, what he did out
of
Jacksonville.
But his performance on the field was okay. Like, it wasn't spectacular. He threw a lot of touchdowns. But he took a lot of sacks.
Here's the problem, though, Shiloh. I think you're looking at this the same way Shador looked at this. You just named us everything Deion did on the field. We're not drafting Deion. We're drafting Shador Sanders, who even with the accolades that you talk about, even with the stats. When I interviewed here, when I talked to Dave Labrosi, I'd been in radio for 7 years already. I'd won Best of Baltimore over at WNST one time. But did I come in here and say, hey, look, man, if you hire me, you can put me on this show? No.
Man, you ain't never won no
Best
of Baltimore.
Because he would have said, out the door. Yeah. You ain't worth it. Well, you still have to come interview. This guy is a college football player. You can't tell me I got to respect him because of his dad's accomplishments. I don't. And I think that's how Shador looks at it. You got to get it to me because of who my dad is. Like I said before, he's a kid that was born on third base and thought that was his triple. That's not your triple, man. Hit your own triple. Hit your own home run. You haven't done anything yet. And you're right. We saw his stats, but we also saw Timmy Chang's stats. We saw a lot of 4,000.
There's a lot of quarterbacks you can bring up that threw for a lot of yards. And again, he was forced to because that defense was horrendous most of the year. But the other point real quick about this is that you're looking at all the different things with Shador. I'd sit here and say, if you thought everything he did on the field was great and he fell to the fifth round, what the hell's wrong with all the other stuff? Not like, oh, what's the matter with the NFL? All these teams saw something else that you didn't see. And
he didn't fall to the second round because they lapped him once. They lapped him all four times. Mm. Ryan Ripken joins us at 7:45, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at this because I got a story that can match this, and Ed knows it as well. But we're going to talk about what do you do when your bookie stiffs you? Do you take him to court and sue him? Well, that's what happened. And I don't know, maybe I got some stories about this too. We'll talk about it in the world of stupid.